We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we trust that our broadcast service today will be blessed of the Lord and thus a blessing to you. We open our broadcast service with the choir singing for us, Hold My Hand.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the sinking sand, it is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer to morning.
Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for your precious word, which assures us that you will be with us as long as we be with you. We thank you for the privilege we have of sharing this broadcast service with this precious people today. We thank you for everyone in our congregation. I know that you see them. I know that you love them. And I'm praying thy blessings to be upon them. We ask that you'll help us as we endeavor to make this service, that we will have the Spirit's blessings and anointing, so the hearts will be blessed. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing and over again to me, wonderful words of God. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of God. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and beauty.
Jesus in resisting the devil, as recorded in Matthew 4, quoted from the book of Deuteronomy, to the effect that man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And on this broadcast, as well as all of our broadcasts, we endeavor to bring to you what the Word of God teaches. So today our subject is entitled, Wisdom in Being a Good Spouse. And we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. First of all, a young man and a young lady should seek the mind of the Lord as to His will, as to who they marry. It is my conviction, and I believe based on the Word of God, that Christians should marry Christians. But that does not mean that just because a young man and a young lady are Christians, that it is the will of God for them to become husband and wife. Therefore, they need to seek the mind and the will of God in regard to their life's companion. The importance of such a subject should be evident. Our happiness in this life is greatly affected by how successful we are in our marriage relationship. Even our usefulness to the Lord is affected by the relationship husbands and wives have one to another. A husband's prayers can be hindered by his treatment of his wife, according to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. The ideal wife is trustworthy and dependable. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So we read in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 12. She will not squander what they have to live off of, but use it in a manner that benefits the family. She is filled with an enduring love. Yes, an enduring love. Not puppy love, not something just for a day or two, but her love for her husband is to be an enduring love. She does her best to be a good homemaker. She can work outside of the home, according to what we read in Proverbs 31, but can she do it without neglecting her responsibilities as a wife and mother? I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and the first part of verse 14. There may be times when the wife has no choice, but often it is not a necessity, but a desire to have more than they really need. Remember, the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. Now, money is not evil. We need money to go through life, to buy things, and to deal with property and other items. We need finances, of course. But it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. And the love of money may cause you to do things that are unethical or improper. So be sure that what you do is done for the glory of God. Is the extra income worth what it might cost in regard to the children? Some studies have indicated that children of mothers who work outside the home suffer greatly. From the Chicago Tribune's women writer, Joan Beck, we read, "Would mothers of very young children be willing to go work full-time outside the home if they knew that it could lower their youngsters' intelligence measurably?" Evidence continues to pile up that the role of mother plays in the life of her children during the first 3 years of life has a crucial, lasting effect on his intelligence. And the components of this relationship include critical elements which cannot easily be supplied by mother substitutes or daycare centers. And that's the end of the quote from Joan Beck. D. Foran of the University of North Carolina reports that daycare children display negative aggressive acts 15 times as often as home care children. And let me read that again from D. Foran of the University of North Carolina. Reports that daycare children display negative aggressive acts 15 times as often as home care children. According to Proverbs 31, a wife is one who is compassionate. She cares not only for her own family, but for the less fortunate as well. She is concerned with developing the interperson. Character matters. Character matters. She speaks words of wisdom and kindness. She sees to the need of her family so that her family does not go in want. One who fears the Lord. Yes, she is one. If she is the wife that God would have her to be, she is one who fears the Lord. What a wife does not want to be is contentious and hateful. Both characteristics can make it where the husband does not want to be around. Now, I've said a good bit about the wife. Let me say something about the husband. How to be a good husband. There are no verses grouped together that describe the virtuous man, as we find in Proverbs 31 in regard to who can find a virtuous woman. But keep in mind that the book of Proverbs contains advice which, if followed, would make a husband any woman would doubtless be proud to have as their husband, for he would indeed be a loving, kind, and respectful husband. And he would allow his wife the opportunity to develop her own abilities and let her keep the benefits of her own labors as well as the rest of the family. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. He, her children, arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 27 through 31. We speak of Hannah in the Bible, and how she prayed for a son. She was married to a man by the name of Elkanah, and he had two wives, and the other wife was able to bear children, and she really taunted and tried Hannah because Hannah was barren. But they went up to Shiloh, as they did once a year, and Hannah was so burdened she didn't want to eat. And she was praying and seeking the Lord. The chief priest, Eli, thought she was drunk, but she set him straight and told him, in effect, that she was a woman of great sorrow and of a burdened heart. And when it came time to offer the sacrifice, Elkanah gave his wife, Hannah, a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. And then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Why weepest thou? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 husbands? So I say we say a good deal about Hannah and what kind of a mother she proved to be, but I would consider what I have just read as evidence that Elkanah was a good husband to her, and doubtless to the other wife as well. But I don't know that I could say that he was good to her as 10 children would be, because many times, especially when a woman is barren, she has that longing desire for a child. And that's only natural. That's only God-given. That's part of God's plan, that a husband and a wife, when they get married, that they have offspring. God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and to multiply. And so I would say that no son, no husband could take the place of a son, regardless of how good he is or how much he loves her and cares for her. She still has that desire for children. Proverbs 5 and 18 and 19 instructs husbands to be content with the love of their wife and never be enticed by another woman. And whenever a couple really and truly love one another, as the Bible teaches they are supposed to, they will never, I repeat, they will never be unfaithful to one another. They will indeed be a faithful companion as long as God allows them both to live. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So Ephesians 5:23, one of the verses of our text today, says, but that is not a privilege. I repeat, that's not a privilege, but it is a grave responsibility to be the head, whether it be a company, or whether it be the head of the nation, or the head of a family. It is indeed a grave responsibility. And that doesn't make him an overlord. No, it gives him the responsibility of being the one who makes final decisions. And as I've often said, the one who has the responsibility of making the decisions has the responsibility of accepting the consequences of those decisions. So the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. That is not a privilege, I say, but a grave responsibility. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. I wonder how many husbands actually love their wife as much as Christ loved the church. You know, Christ loved the church so much that he gave his very life for her. So husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. A man who loves his wife as Christ loved the church will never mistreat her, nor will he forsake her. If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So we read in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. It is the responsibility of the husband and father to provide for his family. And again, I say there may be occasions when it is absolutely necessary for the wife to work outside the home. But remember, her first responsibility is being a homemaker, being a faithful wife, and being a faithful mother. Now also, when we talk about being a good spouse and being a good husband, being a good wife, also, as I mentioned a moment ago, it is God's plan for them to have children, with some exceptions. So let's have a few words for the children. In Ephesians chapter 6, reading verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, I say. And I think I'll read that over again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So much of the joy and meaning of life that God would have us to enjoy is found in a good, godly home, where all love one another, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of your life, for that is thy portion in this life. So we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 9. Yes, God planned marriage, and God planned that it be a happy marriage and a happy home where children are loved and cared for, as well as husband and wives are loved and cared for. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing these scriptures and thoughts with this precious congregation today, and we trust the Holy Spirit will be able to use them to be a blessing to those in our congregation. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has been a blessing. If so, it would be an encouragement to us to know. Our mailing address, the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. There you may read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, and you may listen to past broadcasts if you've missed any. And you can also join us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins at 20 minutes before 11, our evening service at 6, and our midweek service begins Wednesday evening at 7. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us in our next broadcast. And until then, may the Lord's blessings abide, is our prayer.
And peace like a river.